After getting the $15 minimum wage, Seattle's retail and service workers may claim another victory. The city is drafting a law known as Secure Scheduling. It's aimed at giving employees more control over their hours and the shifts they work. Businesses that don't comply might have to pay a penalty to their employees. David Jones is a Subway franchisee and the founder of the Blazing Onion restaurant chain. He says this law would punish too many businesses who are doing nothing wrong.
It's more of a handful. It's not the majority. I think the majority of business owners, whether it's retail or restaurants, 95% or more are doing a good job with taking care of their employees, talking to their employees, communicating with their employees, making good schedules.
How do you know that doing a good job with scheduling is the rule?
Well, I used to teach scheduling, so I've taught it for a long time. I worked for Denny's for 13 years into the training for the managers and traveled to actually do the schedules. And the people I talk to, there's no reason to make a bad schedule. It's just laziness to make a bad schedule. So if you want to stop turnover, you are trying to always take care of your people. That's your goal all the time. And any other goal is lazy, where you don't realize that you're causing a problem for yourself.
But I think I hear you saying that that scheduling problems are a relatively small problem. And I want to know how. You know, not everybody agrees. So what's your evidence that this is not a big problem?
Well, for one thing, the city council just had a public hearing, and the press was there, and the stories after the press was there was that employees came and talked about it, and then business owners came and talked about it, and that's not what happened. What happened was roughly five employees from the city's argument came and spoke, and about five employees from the business side came and spoke. The rest of it was all union and business owners. It's not a big employee outcry that's showing up at these things.
You're saying in your experience, shift scheduling is not a problem for your employees?
In our experience, we listen to our employees. We do a lot of the things. A lot of the business that showed up at the hearing said that they do these things already. And the union's response with that was, well, if you're doing it already, then it doesn't matter. But it does matter because the city changed the way the legislation was being written from the beginning and made it so it actually affects all employers, whether you're good or you're bad, whether you're doing a good job, whether you're doing a bad job. Now, everybody pays penalty pay. No matter what.
Let's talk about this penalty pay. For example, if you can't give your Seattle employees 2 weeks' notice on scheduling changes, you might have to pay them extra. Why is that a problem for
you? Well, honestly, 2 weeks' schedules is not a problem for an employer. An employer can schedule 1 week, 2 weeks, because most of the schedules are common copies with the exception of request off. So there's not much change. So that's not the issue. The issue is with the employees. The employees, to get a 2 week schedule, have to have 3 weeks posted. 3 weeks posted means they have to request stuff off 3 to 4 weeks in advance. Most of our employees don't know what's going on in their lives 3 or 4 weeks in advance. So that's going to end up coming back to the employer, where it'll be penalty pay or it'll be extra sick calls because the employee doesn't know how to handle it. So the true issue of this is the employees, not the employers, because employers will adapt to this very easily.
My understanding is that if an employee, for example, calls in sick, you can avoid paying the penalty if you just send out a mass text or email and offer everybody a shift. Is that right?
That's true.
And why is that not a fix for you?
Well, because the insanity of that. The most likely scenario would be that I have an employee that works till 4 p.m. and they called in sick. And now I have an employee that gets off at 1 p.m. and an employee gets off at 2 p.m. I can't just turn around and ask them, can one of you stay till 4? In which case, most likely one of them will volunteer to stay till 4. I have to actually send a text in front of them or behind the door. I have to send a text. So it's really, it sounds like that's very reasonable. But for the call in six, it's very unreasonable. For covering someone that doesn't give a 2 week notice, that could be reasonable because you could get a lot of the shifts covered. But that instantaneous moment, it's not reasonable.
I think the city's idea is that when you look at what to use the obvious person, you say, hey, can you cover this? Somebody dropped out. Is that you call it volunteering, but that it might not be so voluntary for the person who might feel on the spot and with a sudden demand from their employer.
And that could be true. In some cases, that could be true. But in many cases, the city is fighting to make sure employees that want more hours. One of their studies said that 20 to 30% of employees want more hours. They're fighting for that in one case of this legislation. They're fighting for that. Well, those people are the ones that usually say yes to covering those shifts because they want more hours. So you're in effect, you're contradicting yourself. You're trying to fight for those employees that want more hours, but then you're putting up a lot of red tape to keep those employees from being able to get those hours.
Is it fair to say you see in this new city law unintended consequences?
There's going to be unintended consequences. I don't agree with the woe is me mentality of a lot of that spoke at the hearing, but
the businesses that spoke
just because of their tone didn't quite capture it. But the fact is that if you're doing a schedule and you have a shift to cover that's a few more hours, like in my scenario of the 4 o'clock, 1 o'clock, there's going to be a point where you're thinking, I can't cover that today because I've taken enough penalty pay this week, so I can't cover it. So there will be employees' loss of hours. It will happen no matter what, and it will happen with the best employers with the best intentions. They will still end up doing that because our margins aren't near as big as the city apparently thinks they are.
This is interesting because you're saying we're not as rich and powerful as you think, because I think the city looks at it like, you know, when scheduling fails – now the burden could fall on a worker who might be barely making rent and childcare. So okay, nothing's perfect, but we're going to shift that burden a little bit to the business.
Right.
Is that wrongheaded?
Well, it is wrongheaded. I gave an example of a water heater going out at one of my stores. It closed me for 3.5 days. The water heater cost $20,000 to replace, and we were closed for 3.5 days. That's a couple months of income for me. So the city and we were able to actually transfer people to some other stores to give them hours that wanted other hours. So the impact on the employees was actually fairly minimal with our effort to try to help them, but it was huge for us. And the union in that particular meeting spoke up and said, it's the employees taking all the burden. It's like they didn't even hear anything that I said about the reality of the situation.
Do you think it's unfair that small business owners are exempt from this secure scheduling legislation, but now franchisees are subject to this?
Well, I think it's very unfair that franchisees are subject to it. Franchisees in Seattle, the bulk of the franchisees in Seattle are minority owners. They're small businesses with 10 or less employees. If this was for 500 or less employees for their entity, then they would be a big business franchise owner, but they're not. They're small business, so they're struggling to make ends meet, and they're affected by this because the city of Seattle doesn't recognize them. Even after pleas from me for them to sit down with small business franchisees and get to know them and see that they're small business, they have refused to do that, and they just choose to look at the banner Subway instead of the people behind that banner that are actually running the businesses.
David, I've had business owners say to me, I don't like X thing the city is doing, but I'm not going to say anything about it because I'm going to get picketed or blackballed. Do you find that? And why are you talking to me right now?
That's happened to two of my friends. So one has been picketed twice and one has been put on a blackball list on a website. I refuse to do that. I think that if the business owner, in the policies that I'm against, it's the lack of an exception for an employee-initiated situation that affects a schedule.
And meaning someone dropping out of a shift.
Someone dropping out of a shift, whether it's call-in or what. That has nothing to do with poor scheduling. Nothing to do with it. So that's what I'm against. I'm not against the city of Seattle trying to improve employees' lives. I'm not against that. But the way they're doing it, they're hitting everybody. So I'm against that. If someone doesn't speak out against it, if everybody just cowers and doesn't speak out, then nothing will happen. It will just go blindly forward. And every time in our past, when we have gone blindly forward without someone speaking up, it has gone on too long. And big changes happen when people speak up. So I refuse to not take care of my staff. I refuse not to care of our family. I refuse to just not speak. I just refuse to do that. I'm not going to do that.
David Jones is a Subway franchisee and founder of the Blazing Onion Restaurants. He opposes Seattle's proposed secure scheduling legislation. We also talked to the director of Seattle's Office of Labor Standards, who supports and would enforce this law. We're tweeting out a link to that interview right now at KUOW.